In one of the collects, we ask for the grace to imitate St. Turribio. By his watchful care over his flock, he won a glorious name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Turribio is not well known, but his feast is kept throughout the United States. In the 16th century, while a layman, he was a law professor and the chief judge of the city of Granada in Spain. He was tapped by Philip II, King of Spain, to be Archbishop of Lima in Peru. He declined, saying he wasn't even a priest, but he was the man for the job, and he was ordained a priest and consecrated a bishop and sent off to the New World. His was a huge diocese and full of every possible problem and irregularity. The Indians had degenerated to the most disgusting morals, and the Spanish colonialists were not far behind. But still, by his faithful watchfulness over his flock, his Mass says, he was able to win a glorious name for himself. What he did for thousands of Christians, you, dear mothers and fathers, must do for the little flock committed to your care, your children at home with you. And if you do, you will win a glorious name for yourself. It is a duty of Christian parents to watch over their children, lest they be led into temptation. This is a true story of a young man called Henry, who showed early on every promise of piety. His parents were delighted in his progress, and he truly edified his young friends. But when he had hit the shoals of adolescence, why then, it seemed almost overnight, he changed. And from being bright and joyful, he became dark and sullen and sad. This was about the age of 15, so his father prudently sent him to a doctor. There was nothing wrong with him. And then he went to see the priest, and the priest explained that the devil attacks with great fury those who are holy. Keep that in mind. Or those who show the promise of being holy. How does he attack? He either gets them to commit a sin or makes them think that they have committed some kind of a terrible sin. And the priest told Henry's father, I'll come and see him myself. So he did. Now, Henry would have left the room if he could, but he was trapped. He had to talk to the priest. And as usual, he was sullen. He looked down. He had nothing to say. And the priest continued talking to him in a kind but authoritative way, as a priest would, father to his soul. Eventually, as he was speaking, he noticed that Henry had a little tear in one corner of one eye, and then came out a torrent of tears. And finally, when he stopped sobbing, he told the priest, "Father, do you want to know what happened to me and why I don't believe anymore? Let me show you." And the young man took the priest into his father's study, to the bookshelf, pointed out one book in particular. "I read that book. And now I doubt everything, and then I've fallen into all these habits of sin." Well, it turns out that a family friend had sent that book to his father, but he was too busy at the time to look at it, so without thinking, he just put it on the bookshelf. And there the young man found it. The rest, as I say, was history. The father was not watchful, but he was watchful enough to consult with the priest about his son. The priest was able to lead him back to the faith and lead him through a good confession. He recovered his former joy of life, but they say that ever since that happened, his personality was changed a little bit. He was far more serious than he was before when he had been innocent. Parents, what do you have in your home? Perhaps stored away from years ago, movies or magazines or books or something like that, which you might not even think about or consider it safe from prying little eyes. Not necessarily so. Is it safe for your soul to have this? Resolve this week to look through the house and see what you might have buried in the bottom of the dresser or in the back of the bookcase or in some storeroom in the basement. If it's there, your children will find it. And in finding it, it is the moral equivalent of finding a loaded gun. Now, all of this and more, I mean, all of this entertainment and temptation and information, joined at times to the most appalling filth, may be found on the internet. I trust that none of you parents are so foolhardy as those parents were maybe 20 years ago. I mean, the kind who would allow their children to have a television in their bedroom. And now, of course, that would be supplemented by a computer. For if you are, you are responsible for your child contracting serious habits of sin. The internet can be a wonderful and rapid source of information. There's a world there. But also, it is at the very best a waste of time. And at the worst, it is an occasion of sin of the first order. Parents, prudent rules, please. A computer should always be put and used in a public place. Children should ask for permission before they tune into it. And parents, even then, must be watchful. Watchful? Why? Curiosity, original sin, and the weakness of our human nature. It is their job to be curious, their children, and it is your job to be watchful. You're the parent. But not only inanimate objects, CDs or a computer screen, a television, whatever, a magazine, may destroy your child's soul and all of the good efforts that you have made in good faith in bringing your child to church, catechism, prayer, and all the rest of it. Family plays its role here. First and foremost, with all due respect, just because someone is related to you by blood or marriage does not make that person necessarily safe or recommendable for the association of your children. You must ask yourself, how do they live? How do they speak? What guests do they have in their home? How do they raise their children? What music is listened to? Do they have television? And all of the rest. Open your eyes. Be prudent. Ask questions. Don't be too trusting. Who will be supervising my child during the visit? With whom will he be associating? What will they be doing? Who will bear that responsibility? And a fortiori, that is to say, even more so, watch out for your parents, for your children's friends. The rule of the day, because of, well, television and music and public schools and all of the rest of it, the rule for the day is that our children should have very few, but very carefully checked friends. Friends should be tried and true. Again, the question of home life. What goes on in their home? How does that family live? How do their parents and siblings behave and all of the rest of it? Children, even then, should never be left unsupervised. For all of these circumstances, I beg you, for the good of your children's soul, ask the questions. When in life, when in doubt, ask. What? What are they doing? Where? Where's my child now? With whom is he associating? And why? What are they up to over there anyway? Be curious and follow through. What could we ever say about parents who provide or permit their children to have unlimited access to a cell phone, or who, upon their reaching a certain date of age and having a license, give their children a car or a truck? Well, what I would say to such a parent is, are you crazy? What's the matter with you? You are putting your child in the absolute guaranteed occasion of sin. The same thing as with the internet. Come on, wake up. It is true. There are circumstances which will call for the use of a cell phone, but then it's given back. And you might want to loan the car keys to an older adolescent for some particular purpose, but then they are given back. That same prudence and common sense should lead you to judge very carefully in the matter of the schools you send your children to, the after-school or the sports activities in which they engage. What kind of a lesson, ultimately, are they learning? What kind of language or friends are they picking up? What are the adults saying and teaching them, as well as the other children there? These are all of them terrific sources of bad influence and of bad habits and of bad friends, which later on can be very, very hard to break. At the very least, one often sees a loss of innocence. And that's sad. Why should it be so that our children are coarsened before the time? After school and summer jobs would come under the same rubric, that is to say, in and of themselves, they are good things. But where would my child be working? With whom would he be associating? What friends would he make? What influences would he be bringing home with him along with his little paycheck? The general answer, no. Even for children in high school, until they're really ready to leave home and take their own responsibility, the general answer is no, don't do it. You put your child in a hamburger pit for the summer, and you will see what he will be dragging home with him in his own immortal soul. Did any of you read the sad or come across the sad story last weekend in the papers about little Bobby Simpson, a four-year-old boy who was drowned in a public pool in Mason? The newspaper report quoted a leading pediatrician of the area who, for once, spoke with great common sense. He said, "You know, parents should not count too much on others. I wouldn't rely on anybody for my kids' safety. There are an awful lot of deep pools out there. Let's all use some common sense. But let us all so use imagination, and let us help each other out. There are some alternatives for many things. For example, after-school job. There's always a great need for reliable babysitters. Boys as well as girls can do that work. And then pet sitting sometimes and yard work. And what about the possibility of some good volunteer work, which is great for forming characters? Our children receive, they should be taught to give back too. I'm very happy to use our parish bulletin as a way to have some kind of networking, they would say today. If you want to write out a little ad, if you have a need, or if you have a child who would like a job, put it in the bulletin. You might be surprised what good, safe, and reliable job situations we could come up with, which would be mutually beneficial. In all of these matters, please don't rely on the fact your children will, but you shouldn't. Everybody's doing it. It's the custom. We've always done it this way. Oh, when St. Toribio was visiting his huge archdiocese, very often priests who were countenancing abuses would tell the archbishop, they would say, "Your Excellency, this is the custom. We do it this way here, you see." And his response would be, when our Lord came to this earth, he did not say, "I am the custom." He said, "I am the truth." Now, it is true that one day your children must grow up and take the responsibility of going out into the world, and you must prepare them for that day. In closing, I turn to another saint whom we honor on the calendar today, Saint Zita, who is the saint of housework, a canonized housekeeper. It was her mother who molded Zita as a girl, a young girl, to the way of sanctity. She taught her daughter to look at everything and ask one question: is this pleasing to God, or is it displeasing to God? Saint Zita grew up realizing her mother was right, and everything in life falls into one category or another. Her mother made her a saint by teaching her that one thing. How do you know? Very often it seems a little bit dubious, doesn't it? A little bit confusing. That is why we need counsel, good counsel. From whom may we receive it? If not from Our Lady, the Mother of Good Counsel. We conclude her Triduum after Mass today. When you've got a decision to make, parents, in all of this area, it seems so much gray matter. How to make the right decision here and now for your children. Don't depend on your own wisdom. Don't depend on what others are doing. Depend on your knees if you can. Say a few decades to the Mother of Good Counsel. Then make your decision. Get your children to pray with you. They'll be pleading. They've made up their own minds. They know what they need. In all of the glory of their 15 years, they'll tell you. But you get them to pray with you, and Our Lady will take care of it and them both. Ask, the Gospel tells us. Ask, and you shall receive. Remember, what children need most of all, they'll never be asking for. They need you to sit down with them, as St. Zita's mother did, to explain things, to show that you enjoy their company, you don't begrudge them your time, and to teach them life's most important lessons, and then follow up on that teaching by discipline. For yourself, for guidance, ask, please. Ask, and you shall receive. In the meantime, be watchful. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.